Hello, this is Killer Crawl Space. This is episode 9. Okay, this episode I want to talk about, it's kind of crime-wise, possibly, but it's also a mystery. It's a West Virginia mystery. It's a very common story. It's a very interesting story. I hope to one day make it out that way. But it's about the Sauter family. But back in Christmas Eve of 1945, a house fire broke out on their home in Fayetteville, West Virginia. At the time, the husband and wife with 9 of their 10 children lived there. The mother and father, 4 of the kids got out. They all thought the other 5 burned up in the fire. Well, turned out, there was nothing found. No bones, no nothing. So, what happened to them? A lot of people, especially the Sauter family themselves, felt that the 5 children survived the fire. But the 5 children was Martha, she was 12, Jenny was 8, Betty was 6, Maurice was 14, and Lewis was 10. like I said, everybody believed, and like I said, the family believed they survived the fire. What they thought, though, they felt that they were kidnapped or murdered that night instead. Because they had some unusual things occur before and during the fire that helped kind of, you know, back up their claims. So I'll kind of go into the unusual claims on that. Excuse me. The first one. The fire department said the fire was caused by an electrical problem. George disputed that because the house had been rewired and inspected. Which, take that into context. Maybe it was inspected, you know, like he said and all that. But maybe, you know, the inspector missed something. You know, that's a very possibility. I would hope not. So, and then you have George and Jenny, which, like I said, is the parents' name as well. Suspected arson, leading theories the children had been taken by the mafia in retaliation because George had been outspoken on the Italian dictator because they were from Italy. See, the Italian dictator was executed in 1944, and I guess he made the comments about him and stuff had left some hard feelings from people over there. Now, I guess it could be possible, you know, somebody come in and get the kids. But you think they would have heard it, but, yeah. The, another thing that happened was, see, in October of the same year, a visiting life insurance salesman, after being shot down, warned George that his house would go up in smoke, and your children are going to be destroyed. Supposedly, sorry if you hear Goober in the background. But, yeah, supposedly he made this comment because of George's comments on the late Italian dictator. Now, the salesman might, you know, with the whole Italian dictator, maybe not. I'm assuming back in the 40s, you know, a lot of people do, when you make them mad, they will say things like this. So was it just a coincidence? Who knows? See, the third unusual thing. Another visitor had shown up seeking work. He eventually warned George that a fuse box would cause a fire someday. Sorry, I'm sorry to read my handwriting there for a minute. But this was after the house had already been inspected and was told everything was safe. Like I said, maybe the inspector missed something. Like I said, hopefully that wasn't the case. I don't know what their technology was and how they done things back in the 40s. So, yeah. Okay, the fourth unusual thing was that supposedly the older boys witnessed a strange car parked along the main highway through town watching the younger kids when they got out of school. Supposedly this occurred for a couple weeks or a few weeks. Would it be the mafia that they claim? or something else? Could it just be a coincidence that, you know, maybe the car was picking up the kids? You know, it's hard to tell. Now, going into detail with the fire, everybody was in bed between, say, 10 and 12:30. They received a phone call around 12:30. Jenny, the mother, answered it. It was a woman. She didn't recognize the voice, but the lady asked for a name that she did not know. She told her she had a wrong number. She heard laughter and clinking glasses in the background. Could have been a party. You know, could have been a wrong number for sure. I think later on in my notes that it goes more into detail about that. They actually found the woman and everything. Before she went back to bed, she noticed the lights were still on and curtains not drawn. The children usually close the curtains and turn the lights off. Which, you know, like I said, the ages of these kids. Yeah, there was three of them, you know, that was 10, 12, 14, those two, 8, 6. You know, even at that age, you know, the kids could have forgot because it's been a hurry to get in bed. Marion, he was, or she, can't remember if Marion was a boy or a girl, my bad, but that child was asleep on the couch. So she assumed that the other kids were in the attic, because I don't know if all the five kids slept in the attic or just the four. I mean, the five. Around 1 a.m., Jenny was awoken by what sounded like an object hitting the house's roof with a loud bang and a rolling noise. She would go back to sleep. Which you're thinking of a rolling noise would be like a ball. Sorry if you hear the heater kicking on. So that I'll go into further detail about that too. Then roughly half an hour later or so, she woke up to smelling smoke. The room George used for his office was on fire. So George, Jenny, Marion, Sylvia, which was the baby. I actually think she's the last one. She's the only one alive out of all of them, if I remember correctly. Let's see. John and George Jr. got out. They yelled for the children upstairs, but no response. The stairway that led up there was already engulfed in flames. So, according to one police report, one of the oldest sons said he went up there after the fire started to get them, but later would change his story that he only yelled up there. So, not sure why he would say he tried to get them and then change his story. I wouldn't see it being a cover-up. Maybe it could be a cover-up, but I just don't see that. You know, because that would be kind of like the family done something, like, hey, you're not supposed to say, you know, we left them, you know, to burn to death type thing. I don't see that because, you know, this family was very traumatized for this for a very long time. Like I said, the Sylvia that's still alive, because she was like a year or two old, if that, you know. So she talked about, you know, just the whole growing up with this. But the fire department was contacted finally from a phone in the center of town. Supposedly a phone at a local tavern and a neighbor house, the phone did not work. Which, you know, it's in the 40s. You know, stuff like that could happen. See, George would break a window to the attic, and they planned to use a ladder, but it was not found. And a water barrel was frozen, which, Christmas Eve, you know, cold weather. The boat trucks, he tried to back up to the house, but neither would start. Some wonder now if maybe they were tampered with, but more, well, I should say back then people wondered, which I guess people still kind of think they were tampered with, but you also kind of got to look at, too, there's belief that he might have just flooded them, which is very possible, especially in their back in them times. But they basically end up having to watch the house burn. It took, you know, a little over 45 minutes or so. So, might as well say an hour it took for the house to burn. And at the time, like I said, they had felt at that night that the five children had died in a fire. Which I couldn't imagine having that, you know. Just, you know, having to sit there and basically watch your house burn when you're at the time thinking that your five children are in that house. Which, If they were still asleep, which you think though, if somehow the fire woke them up, you know, they would have heard screaming, which kind of goes back onto the boy checked on them. Because, like, you would think, you know, if he went up there, he'd be able to get them, but I don't know. It's weird. But the fire department didn't respond until later that morning. They claimed it was due to low manpower, and around 10 o'clock in the morning, firefighters told them they'd not find any bones. So, that's what's kind of weird, like they didn't find nothing. Because, you know, you'd expect to find something of the bodies. So, did they not do a proper search? Because, you know, what have you at that. But I read, too, there was another account that they did find a few bone fragments and internal organs, but chose not to tell the family. But my question would be, why? You know, they already expected their children to die in the fire. You know, why not give them closure? That's, I don't know. That just kind of found, I don't know. That just baffles me if they didn't tell the family that they found stuff. You know, they need that closure. You know, it's rough losing a child, you know. So, but when you know that, you know, they're buried in a, you know, proper resting place, you know, you kind of get some sense of peace, I guess. But in a way, you don't. So, yeah. The chief of police, chief of the fire department, suggests the fire had been hot enough to burn their bodies completely. The chief supposedly told them, too, to leave the site alone so the fire marshal could do a further investigation. But 4 days later, George bulldozed 5 feet of dirt over the site so he could make a memorial garden. Which I kind of see that, like, I know people deal with death differently and stuff and react differently to stuff like that. But that is kind of 5 days after and you're basically burying over, you know, all that. Sorry, that was Messenger. But yeah, just, if he told them, you know, to wait until they could do a further search, I think I would have done that, you know, waited. You know, I really want to find out if my children died in a fire. I'm going to wait, not just bulldoze dirt over it. Yeah, you might want to make a memorial garden later on, but let them do their job first and see if anything's found. The death certificates were issued right before the new year started. The newspaper said all the bodies had been found, but then later in the same story, they only one had been found. And they ended up having a funeral right after the New Year's. They said the parents did not go, but the children did. The ones that, you know, survived. Excuse me. But there are some weird things that are being questioned by the family. If there's an electrical problem, why did the Christmas lights stay on in the early part of the fire? The power should have went out. That's a good point. You would think, you know, if all that's how that house was wired, you know, it would have went out. And the ladder that they couldn't find to get up in the window, it was at the bottom of an embankment 75 feet away, roughly. So, was the ladder put there by mistake, you know, by one of the family members just forgot about it? Or was somebody else moving it? And a telephone repairman said the phone line was not burned through, it had been cut. This kind of gets, you know, a little weirder with that. There was a man that was witnessed by neighbors stealing a block and tackle from the property. He was arrested. He said he cut the line but did not cause the fire. There was no record of this man even existing. That's just so, like, so basically this man steals some stuff from, you know, the block and tackle. And he was witnessed by neighbors. He cut the phone line. And then a fire started. But, like, so there's no record of him existing, so was it somebody else? Was the phone line actually cut? If it wasn't cut by this man never done nothing, then who cut the phone line? Kind of weird. Okay, Jenny, like I said, the mother. I'm guessing one of the daughters might have been, like, one of them that died. What was the Jenny, she must have been, like, a junior type thing. But she done some research on the fire. She believed bones would have been found. She had contacted a local crematorium, and he told her human bone remained after 200,000 degrees for 2 hours, far longer and hotter than the house fire had been. So, yeah, bone should have been found. And then this goes by the phone call I mentioned a little bit ago. It was confirmed that the lady caller that called, you know, and laughed and all that, it was a wrong number on her part. So that, I guess you could kind of look at it that maybe it wasn't, but it most likely was. Sounds like so with clinking of glass and all that and laughter. It sounded like she was at a party or something. Okay, another thing, a driver of a bus was going by then. He claims he had seen people throwing balls of fire at the house. A few months later, after winter turned into spring, Sylvia found a small, hard, dark green rubber ball-like object in the brush. So is this what Jenny heard? Remember I mentioned about the, you know, the, what she heard was something hitting the roof and rolling down. So if that's the case, then that sounds, you know, it was, somebody was basically trying to say it. But yeah, Sylvia would have been 3 in 1946. So yeah, I could guess, you know, child playing, finding that, you know, I could see that. But yeah, it is kind of weird seeing people throw balls of fire at the house. And it even gets a little bit weirder with this concerning the kids. People came forward and said they saw the kids. And one said she had seen them looking out a window from a passing car. I can't remember if that was that night or within, you know, a day or so. And this kind of, like Fayetteville's, maybe 2 hours from me, roughly. But Charleston's, like, roughly an hour from me, so this is actually closer. Well, a woman in Charleston said she fed them at a rest stop between there and Charleston. So somewhere between Fayetteville and Charleston. Supposedly, a car in the parking lot had Florida plates. And the family had hired a private investigator. He found out the salesman was on the jury when it was ruled an accident. Sorry, my heat just kicked on. Okay, yeah, that was one of the other weird things about the family hired a private investigator. He found out that the salesman that I mentioned earlier was on the jury when it was ruled an accident. So supposedly the chief found a heart and buried it. Turned out it was not a heart. In August of 1949, George got somebody to do a new search. Several small bone fragments were unearthed. They would have been determined to be human vertebrae. Turned out to confirm to be a lumbar vertebrae, but it was said it was from somebody between the age of 16 and 22. Like I said, you got the oldest child, let me look, 14. Okay, Maurice was the oldest of 14. The report did say a boy his age could be advanced, and he said the bone was not exposed to fire. He thought it was strange no full skeletons were left behind. And they also wonder kind of if when George bulldozed the dirt over, if maybe the bone came from that, which kind of is weird, because why would there be, you know, bones and other dirt around there? They kind of later thought to, supposedly it was confirmed that those bones came from a local cemetery, but no reason given. Like, I wonder how close a local cemetery was to that house. That's, you know, another thing you just kind of got to look at. Another lady in Charleston came forward about seeing the kids at a hotel. There were two men and two women of Italian looks. Her story is felt not believable because she had first seen photos of the children 2 years after the fire and 5 years before she made the claim. Okay, George, he would basically travel all over trying to find leads, but nothing ever came out of it. The biggest thing happened in 1967. They received a letter that claimed to be Lewis and that he was still alive. but it was from Central City, Kentucky. But there was a picture of a man that looked to be in his 30s, which Lewis would have been, you know, at that age. But on the back it said, Lewis Sauter, I love Brother Frankie. Little boy, A90132 or 35. And they hired another investigator to check this out, but that investigator just disappeared. They don't know where he went, which, did they pay him? He just took the money and ran. Who knows? George would pass away in 1969. Jenny, the mother, died in 1989. So the parents, you know, they died 20 years apart, which Jenny actually passed away the year I was born. And in 2015, only Sylvia was alive. Like I said, she was the youngest, so that would put her 43, so 2 years old when that happened, roughly. Okay. A lot of people feel like the kids did burn up in the fire, and one did claim he believed John's first account. He tried to wake the kids before fleeing the house. My question is, if he couldn't wake them, pick one or two of them up and carry them or something, why didn't he do that? And did Italian Mafia take him back to Italy? Did they burn up in the fire? Will the mystery ever be solved? Who knows? Like, nobody really knows on that. Like, I personally kind of feel that they possibly was burned up in a fire. Well, in the fire of the house. I kind of wonder, you know, 5 feet of dirt's a lot of dirt to pile over it. And I just wonder, like, if a proper search was done. But I've kind of wondered, too, like, you would think maybe throughout the years, like with technology and stuff rising, that they would actually, unless it just seems like, no, well, you think with Sylvia still being alive, you know, there's still people out there caring for these children, because, you know, that's a long time, a very long time, you know. So have they taken dogs out there and, you know, try to get a search going on? Like, have they done any of that? Like, that's what I personally would do. But, see, that will include this episode of Killer Crawl Space. I hope you enjoyed it. But take care, and I'll see you on the next episode.